Welcome to Prevailing Prayers with GSW. This promises to be another transformative time with the Word of God. Let your hearts be ready to receive the Word mixed with faith that would yield innumerable testimonies in your life. God bless you as you listen.
My heart is especially glad today. The last 1 week, I had to travel right because of the weekend for a wedding yesterday. But it seems that good news is good news everywhere. I got some very good news today. God is answering my prayers. I know God is answering your prayers. One of the reasons I know that is because all of us are praying together. So the rain will not fall on one side and not fall on the others. God is answering my prayers. Testimonies are coming in. Good, beautiful testimonies. Some of them are very personal to me. Very personal to me. Issues that I have agonized over, we've prayed over for some time. Because they are not something that I can directly get from God. Those things I don't pray over them, I don't agonize. They are something that I need to get indirectly from God. I mean, for some of our singles here, I wanted God to sort them out in such a manner that they would be in their own homes. For those of them that desire to marry, marriage is not for everybody. It is, however, very troublesome to see people who shouldn't be married, who are getting married, and then to see those who ought to be married, who are still single. The mismatch bothers me a lot, bothers my heart. Because you may assume that one cannot tell tomorrow, but there are some people, when they come to you to say, I'm getting married, you know that their marriage will not last. You know, they are a minister, you know in your heart that this one just wants to do experiments, just wants to experience what it takes to be married. And then you know that after 1 or 2 months, the person will be tired of the marriage. I'm talking of either the male or the female. And sometimes both of them, they just want it on their CV that they were once married. They really are not married material. And as a child of God, as a leader, as a teacher, and as somebody who has spent years studying human realities, counseling people, getting involved in people's deep issues. Oh, I have unique insights. I can say it anywhere. Like, I have unique insight into people and how people will behave. A very unique insight. I'm very shocked by human behavior. I can predict people so to a T. No, I was still telling my wife today, like last month, I was talking about a particular woman, and I told her, I said, see this woman, she's driving this particular car now. I said she will sell this car, and she's going to buy a particular kind of car. My wife was like, what? I said, you will see that this big car she's driving, that is not in her nature. It is borrowed culture. She will go back to her true nature. She will sell the big car and buy a very small car. My wife was laughing. This weekend, we saw her in a very small car. She has sold the big car. My wife was like, why? You said so. I said, I told you. I know people. I may not know many things, but people, I know people. I figure people out easily. That is because of all the years I've spent not only studying, working for pastors, dealing with people's secrets. It's basically my primary one job. Taking care of secrets, keeping secrets, solving life realities and complications. So sometimes I'll see a young man, I'll see a young woman, I'll say, you are not fit for marriage. It is not wickedness. It is not wickedness. It is not like, I just know. I will say, no, you are not ready. You need a year alone. You need 2 years alone. And when you need those 2 years alone, you have to walk in a particular direction. It is, if you don't walk in that direction, you will still not be ready in 2 years. But if you follow my instruction, you'll be ready for marriage in 2 years. Only a few of them have listened to me. Most of them will just They'll just disregard. Next thing, they will send an invitation to come for their wedding. And who am I? I will go now. But 1,000 years that the dog may run, it will find the horse far in front of it. If a dog runs for 1,000 years, it will discover that it is cakewalk for a horse. And then, when the thing happens, I will have to be sorting out the mess. So when I say, don't marry yet, it is all wickedness. It is for your own good. And then when I see somebody that is ready for marriage, and I say, ah, you are ready, then it is not a good thing for me to have delays. For somebody that I know is properly prepared for marriage, they shouldn't be delayed. That's one thing I always tell God. Let them, as soon as I know somebody is ready, and the person will make a good wife or a good husband. The person is, their head is screwed on right. They have gotten the proper training. They have the kind of the proper disposition, and they are fit to be mothers and to be wives and to be husbands and to be fathers. Then I do not want delay. The good news is this. This week, we had four proposals. Four. And I'm happy to tell you that all four of them are a joy for me because I know their marriages will last. And they will get married. The marriage will not take long. We are not dragging, dragging, but it has made my heart so joyful. At least I can say this one is 100%. I know in my heart of heart of heart of heart of heart that the people that are getting married, they have understanding of life. They have understanding of marriage. They have mastered the spiritual aspect of their reality. They have fixed themselves. They are not looking for a husband to come and fix them. They are not looking for a wife to fix them. They have fixed themselves. They are safe to be married to. So today I'm going to be teaching on the topic coming out of misfortune. Coming out of misfortune. It is essential for everybody to listen. Because I teach this to young people who, before they get married, when I tell people you are not fit to get married, it is not like they cannot get married forever and ever. I will then tell them, sit down, let me tell you why. And then let me teach you how to become somebody that can be married. Let me teach you. So normally I teach it privately. I'll be on the call and teach it for hours. But because of this good news I received, I said, okay, I'm going to share this with everybody. Everybody is going to learn why they should learn why and how to prepare themselves for life, how to come out of certain realities that are terrible. So life is not a bed of roses. We know that. Before we became born-again Christians, many of us grew up in different kinds of homes. In some families, there are abusive fathers. I met a young man. When I met him, his hands were around his two legs. Not when I say young man, he's in his 30s. His hands, he lifted up his two legs to his chest and wrapped his hand around the two legs and was quaking and quivering. He was waiting for me in a church to come and minister to him. Ha! When I got to him, I saw the state he was in. I said, "What is the problem?" He said, "It's my wife." I said, "What happened?" Say, "Ah, she's an event planner, and she keeps getting contract from a particular person." And I told her not to get contract from that person again. She will not listen. That person is very highly placed in society. The person is very rich. And the person is an elderly man in his late 70s. So, but I suspect that my wife is dating this old man. Everything he said, I listened. I pay attention to not only to the words people speak, I also pay attention to their body language and their convictions. However, I have seen men whose wives cheating on them before. I can easily predict how they would how they normally talk to me, how they behave, their psychological state. The psychological state of this young man that I'm talking about was terrible. It is not ordinary that it should behave like that. I am telling you, if you were a girl, if you were a female, and it was a female that came saying somebody is trying to cheat on me with my husband, and all that, and she begins to cry, okay, I can, because male and female constitution is very different. Even the female, when they are crying and all that, their senses are not dull. I do not allow anybody to use tears and other things to pretend as if they cannot think. They are smart. Ladies are quite smart. It is the men that are very simple. And some of them, they cannot hide their simplicity. They wear their hat on their sleeves. Ladies are really like that. When a young lady is like 15, 14, 15, 16, before her first heartbreak, she can wear her hat on her sleeves. Once her heart is broken once, she will no longer wear her hat on her sleeves. You see the brothers? Their hearts, many of them, when they like somebody, they just lose the plot. So obviously this brother likes his wife a lot. But he has found himself in a situation where he could kill her. The way he was behaving, the way he was, I could see that the emotions he was expressing, he could kill that girl. And I could also see that the girl was not cheating. I basically, to a T, I knew the girl was not cheating. So I said to this young man, I said, come, sit down, sit with me. Let's watch a movie together. He said, no, I don't. I said, no, come, sit down. Let me play a movie for you. I saw a movie once. I want you to sit down with me. We'll watch this movie. So we sat down. We watched the movie for like an hour. Then I paused the movie. I said, what have you learned from this movie? He said, are you trying to tell me something? I said, tell me about yourself. Were you abused when you were young? Was your father a wicked man? Was your father a wicked man? Was he, what was your father's occupation? I said, oh, my father was a soldier. Your father had many girlfriends or many wives, or was he a polygamist? I said, oh, he had my mom and other people, but he was a very wicked man. He was a very wicked man. Nobody could live with him. Ah, I said to him, your wife is not cheating, but you are not fit to be a husband. You do not have the emotional control to be a husband. I said, do you normally follow your wife whenever she's going out? He said, ah, but I don't care. It's like you're following me. I used to tail her car. When she says she's going to work, I will wait for her to go. 5 minutes later, I will jump in the car and then I'll be following her car. I said, you will leave your job, you'll be telling your wife's car. He said, yes, I want to know where she's going. I will follow her everywhere. I said, so what about your own job? He'll say, I put an alert on her phone so that I can monitor her movement. So when she gets to where she's going, then I'll go to where I'm going. Then when she leaves again, I'll check my phone. If I say she has left, then I'll get to my car again and I'll quickly drive. I said, do you work for yourself? He said, yes. I said, ha, you are wasting productive hours playing private detective, trying to catch your wife cheating. You've never caught her, and yet you have narrowed down your gaze to a source of income that your wife had that has helped her business. I said, this is not fair, but I'll talk to your wife. But you are not fit to be a husband, and I will not pray that God should scatter your marriage. But if you don't, just like God told Cain, God said to Cain, he said, sin is crouching at your door. He said, get a handle over it, master it. Otherwise, it will master you. It's in the Bible. God came to Cain. God said, Cain, you have emotional problem. Cain, listen to me. You have emotional problem. You have problem of temper, of anger, emotional turbulence. You are not a man in control. You are easily out of control. When somebody is easily out of control, the person is a danger to himself and society. He will kill somebody one day. God told Cain, God warned Cain. It's in the book of Genesis. Before he killed his brother, God told him that this you're out of, you just have a fit of anger, you just blow out. You can kill somebody. God told him, God called Cain and said to Cain, Cain, see, sin is crouching at your door. It's either you master this sin or this sin will master you. It is in the Bible. God told Cain. Cain couldn't master sin. Cain killed his brother. And I told his brother, I said, you are going to kill this woman. I said, do you beat her? I said, no. Do you feel like beating her? I said, no. I said, but sometimes you feel like strangling her. You feel like killing her. He said, yes. I said, you will kill her one day. You will not know how you did it. You will just lose this temper. This thing that I see you wearing like a toga, that you are sitting down, you are shaking, you are convoluting over somebody gave your wife a contract. You are behaving like this as a man. You will kill this woman. I told him. The following day, he dragged the wife to me. I separated them. We met at Sheraton Hotel Ikeja. So I said, you should sit aside. I spoke with the wife. The wife said, she's not cheating. I said, I know. This brother had psychological issues, serious ones, from his background, from the way he was raised. He had serious psychological issues that had gone unnoticed and without being taken care of. He should have seen a psychologist. He should have dealt with the trauma. He should have had counseling, not in marriage, before marriage. Somebody should have sat him down and talked to him the way I'm talking now in this class. Somebody should have expressed to him these things you are feeling, these things you are doing, these things you are doing. When you see people that have insecurity, it is a traumatic problem. It comes from somewhere. And these are emotions that you need to deal with before you marry somebody. Because after you marry the person, you will subject the person to torture. The person will not be able to breathe. You will choke the person to death. If you are married to somebody, marriage should be a liberation for your partner. Shouldn't be prison. Nobody should want... Nobody should be free and then willingly sign a document to put him or himself or herself in prison. Then nobody will get married then if that's what marriage is. Marriage is not, oh, I'm free. I'm single and free. Then I'm married and I'm in prison. No, I'm married and free too. In fact, I'm married and liberated. Very much free. That's the truth. You should be in marriage. Your joy should be full. You should be able to live. Two should be able to chase 10,000. It's not that the two, one is chasing one inside the two. Imagine that. Imagine that. Both of you are married and the husband is chasing wife. Wife is chasing husband. What kind of marriage is that? You should be chasing each other. Both of you are supposed to chase together, to achieve together, to face the world and conquer it. Not that both of you will be fighting for supremacy within your own home. And it is because of somebody's trauma that the person did not take care of. Spoke with the wife. The wife explained the hell she had been passing through with this brother. The wife said she had moved out of the marriage four times. Four times. That the church they were attending, the church will intervene and bring them back together. That she will move again. That there was a day her parents came to pack her things. And that for 3 months they were apart. But then the pastor of the church came again and brought them together. And you know, again, many pastors, They don't pay attention to the problem. They think that a man and a woman being apart is a bad thing. No. You have to make sure that they are fit to be together. That they are fit to live together. So I spoke to the wife. I knew that that girl was going through hell. So the wife had... So what normally happens in such a relationship is the person that is being tortured will begin to look for escape. So that escape is, person will be keeping money aside. You know, somebody is in a terrible marriage. The husband will be thinking, I'm not allowed to breathe. I'm not allowed to... Then the wife will be thinking, I want to be free. What do I need to be free? I need to have financial freedom. So this particular woman, she had, without his knowledge, without his FBI, she had raised money, she had kept money aside. She had an international passport, she had gotten visa. She was planning that after some time, after doing some work, and she had a certain amount of money, she would just pack a bag, get on a plane, and run away. And that is usually the case for those who are married to insecure people. All they want is freedom. They knew they had gotten into prison, especially in the Christian marriage kind, where you are yoked to this person only for life. So it doesn't matter whether the person has mental problem or the person is normal. Just be praying that the person God will start you to, the person God will join you to, the person pastor will join you to, be praying that the person has good head. That the person will not be one of those that you wake up in the middle of the night, you see them tearing their hair out of their head, or looking at you as if they want to bite you or stab you to death. I've seen so many cases like that. When this sister told me where she was, I said, okay, let me work my magic. The husband is not beyond redemption. I will work with your husband. It will be a good husband in 3 months, but you will give me that 3 months. After the 3 months, if he is not a good husband, you can leave Nigeria. You can execute your plan. So don't jettison the plan, but let me work with him. So these are the steps I took with this brother. Number one, I made him acknowledge where he was coming from. We are in this class today. You are listening to me. Look at yourself. From the day you are born in your father's house, acknowledge, look at it and say to yourself, don't lie to yourself. Say to yourself the truth. My father was a good man, or my father was a terrible man. You know, at least note it. Now that you are mature, you can look at this dispassionately and without any coloring. Your father, your parents, were they good people? Were they terrible? Were they wicked? Take it down and write it down. My father was a wicked man. My mother was this. Write it down. Label it the way it is. Okay. Now, that behavior, because you are exposed to it, this young man said, my father will flog me, flog me, flog me, flog me, flog me. That one day he flogged me, almost blinded me. Okay. So your father abused you. So if you are abused, also write it down. I was abused as a child. It is not, you are an adult now. It is not an indictment. You are trying to heal. You must know where you are coming from. Don't live in denial. Okay, I was abused. I was either sexually abused, if you are sexually abused, either it is physical abuse, either emotional abuse, either financial abuse. Okay, either from father, from mother, write it down. If you are from a broken home also, I was a single parent situation, but my mother was also always cursing my father. Okay, write it. Note it. That's how to come out of it. Note it. The environment where we grow up shapes us. It is not, it's sometimes some people, based on, because they are living in a very fearful environment. If you touch them, you see the way they will flinch. If you touch their shoulder in a public place, you see the way they will scatter. You'll be wondering, what's the problem? It is because they have heightened their senses. They live in a very toxic environment, and in that environment, they have to be aware of danger at all times. You will notice that somebody that lives in a very good environment does not behave like that. He or she has peace of mind. So when you talk to the person will not be like, hey, hey. Person will be like, hi, and okay, it's safe to talk to this person. So where we live conditions us, it works on who we are on the inside. Hey, long lady, you are raped at 15, raped at 12, and you have been raped 2 or 3 times. You are not, your gentle outward look is a deceit. There is sea raging inside of you. It is the truth. There is a problem inside. You may use makeup, you may do hair, you may stand for the mirror and say, oh, look at me. There is problem inside. There is internal turmoil. And you have to come out of it, because it is what is inside that dictates the direction of your life. If they put the most beautiful person on the outside, your look may give you audience before the king. Your look may give you audience to the governor. Your look may give you audience with the richest people in the world. But you see, the character inside, that poison that is boiling on the inside, it will destroy all the connection that you would ever have. It will destroy it. You will not be able to sustain relationships. You will not be able to do, you will not be able to behave normally. You will be taking pride of it, which is the second thing. How do you act? How do you, your person, say, ah, you to say, I don't take process. I fight. Sum yourself up. Are you an angry person? Are you an angry person? Are you a selfish person? Are you open? Are you generous by nature? Do you think in a selfish manner? How do you think? How do you think? Are you accommodating? Is a burden on your shoulder? Eh? Because you are the firstborn, you have to carry the load of your younger ones, and you've carried it for many years, and it has become wearisome. Is that on your shoulder? Is that as that condition you're thinking? You have to note it. When Job was in misfortune, it wasn't people that caused Job's misfortune. We all know the story of Job. It wasn't, nobody was the enemy that went to do something to Job. No. Job was fortunate. He was blessed. He was rich. And then the circumstances of Job changed as a result of a wager between God and Satan. And Job began to lose everything. It was a test of Job's faith. It was also a test of the soundness of his mind. The one thing that you must never lose, the place where God protected Job the most, was his mind. If you keep your mind, everything you lose will come back. Once a man loses his mind, the man is done for. Let me say that again. Somebody is sick, has one sickness or the other. Even sometimes loses their eyes, loses the ear. It does not stop them from fulfilling destiny. Take somebody's mind from them. Once the person cannot think, once the person cannot make sound decisions, once the person is altered psychologically, the person is gone. The person can no longer fulfill destiny. But if the person is physically sick, the sound mind will take the person to where he's going. The mind was what God protected. God did not allow the devil to touch Job's mind. And Job did not allow misfortune to change his mind. That was the territory the devil wanted. The devil said to God, he said, Job will deny you. To deny God is a thing of the mind. It's not a thing of the body. It's a decision. And once you get to that point in your decision making where you begin to curse God, your mind becomes altered, because you begin to lose your faith in God. You begin to lose your understanding of God. You begin to rewrite the story of all the testimonies you've ever had. You know, somebody will say, oh, there's no God. And then you say, oh, but remember that time when you were sick, we prayed for you, you got healed. Person will say, it's just luck. Ah, what about that time when you needed some money to do something, we prayed and God provided? It was a coincidence. Ah, what, don't forget that time when you were almost in an accident and that somehow, like a wind just carried you, somehow the car did not hit you. It wasn't God. My eyes were open, I jumped. What do you mean? And this person begins to alter their own thinking pattern. They begin to alter their belief system. They begin to edit where God has interfered in their life, in their story, so that they can remove God from their story, because now they don't believe in God anymore. And that then affects how the person's whole worldview will shape out and how the person thinks. And that's what the devil wants. The devil likes to take possession of our mind and then alter the course of our thinking. And so that was the target. So the devil was thinking, in order for me to take control of Job's mind, I must take everything that he has. If I strip him of food, of clothes, of children, of love, of affection, of everything, it would then change his mind. And it would curse God. It would deny God. It would say, God is no longer God. So the devil took everything, but Job maintained his mind. Job said, no, I know my Redeemer liveth. I know that he has salvation in his hand. I know the one I serve. So the devil was like, ah, let me introduce an encourager to him. David then spoke with his wife, said, go and instruct him, tell him, wife, to tell him to deny this God. Ah, what do you mean? Are you not also in pain? Did you not also lose your children? Why is he acting as if God is faithful after everything you've lost? Go and talk to him, tell him to curse God and die. His death is better. Why didn't the wife? She also lost now. The wife also lost children, also lost everything. Why didn't the wife curse God herself and die? No, the wife came to Job. Both of them lost. Many people don't look at that story that way. Both of them lost everything. And yet it was the wife that came to tell the husband that curse God and die. You also lost everything. Why did you curse God and die? No, it was because the devil instigated her, because the devil wanted Job's mind. When we go through hell, due to our upbringing, due to our background, due to the things we've seen in life, the one place that we must never lose out is our mind. And if you notice that your mind begins to shift, that is where you must heal. A person whose mind and worldview has been altered by trouble is not a marriageable person. Somebody who is hurting in their heart. Somebody who has been abused, somebody who has never known true love, never known joy, is not somebody that should marry anybody. It is what you have that you will give. If you have pain inside, it is pain you will give people. You cannot have pain inside your heart. You cannot have insecurity inside your heart and go and join yourself to somebody in marriage. You must heal that insecurity. You must heal the envy. You must heal the jealousy. You must heal that temper, that bad temper. You must heal it. You must say to yourself, no. If you have low self-esteem, you must heal it. You must tell yourself, how am I going to be a good wife like this? What am I going to add as a value to the person that I'm going to marry as a husband? I will say I love this person, and then I will unleash this my baggage on the person. Will the person not die? Even I that I'm carrying the baggage, is it not a weight for me? You are supposed to be a joy to your partner. You are supposed to add value to the partner. You are supposed to elevate the status of your partner. You are supposed to rejoice, in the presence of your partner. This is the one person with whom you can be naked and not ashamed. Where you can strip yourself bare and you are not afraid that you have a legal right and a vital right to such a degree that you are not afraid that anything can happen. You are sure that you want to be with this person. But the person that you need to fix is yourself. So most people, they begin to want to fix the other person. So this young man that I talked about, he was trying to fix his wife. Meanwhile, it was he that was sick. But he wanted the wife. He said, I don't want her to, I don't want, I want her to drop that job. That job she's doing, she's getting too much money. She's getting too much money. When a woman has too much money in this life, she will not listen to her husband. I can provide for the two of us. I say, you cannot provide. You cannot. This woman is, the average of a month, she will get like two, three jobs, and sometimes she would make in profits 20, 25 million. Do you know this young lady began to keep that money with her younger sister because her husband is intimidated by her wealth. By her business and by how much she was making. When she buys a new equipment for work, the owner will ask, where did you get the money? How can you have this kind of money? How can you be married to somebody who is focused on sabotaging your material well-being. How can you be a wife who says your husband must not prosper? How can you be a husband who says your wife must not be rich? Don't you understand that you are the one with the problem? As a husband, as a wife, both of you must be, you must both be doing side by side. Like, you must be encouraging each other, pushing each other, edging each other on. So you are the one with the problem. So if you are in a marriage right now, you are listening to me, or in a relationship, and this is your mindset or disposition, you need help. Listen to me. Take help today. Take help. Get that help today. You need to be deliberate about, okay, this is where I'm coming from. This was my past. Why am I behaving the way I'm behaving now? It is because I have insecurity issues. I'm afraid. The young man said, I told myself, I said, I will never be like my father. I'm going to be married to only one woman, and that marriage will last forever. So that was his own decision. But you see, when we make decisions like this out of pain, we do not make it. It will sound good on paper, but what then happens is the person you want to marry, that he got married to, he wanted her to conform. He wanted her to be the kind of person that his own decision would then tie her down and constrain her from fulfilling her own destiny. She had a destiny to fulfill, and her destiny is in business. She's a businesswoman, and she's very good at the business. She said when she started out with only photography. Only photography. And from being a photographer, she began to gather the experience to add other things to that business until she became an event planner. So when she's doing event planning, she will cover the photography aspect of it. She will cover the videography aspect of it. She will cover the rental aspect of it. She will cover the decoration aspect of it. She will cover the printing aspect of it. So she had become so versatile that if you give her a client, she will plan every aspect of it, and she will make profit from all the things she will do. And she's good at it to the extent that people would always call her for jobs because she would deliver. And here you are, husband, saying that she should drop all that and come and sit down at home and be your housewife. That's not fair. That's absolutely not fair. And she's not the one that is at fault here. She wasn't cheating. You are the one with insecurity. We worked at it. We exposed the past. And then we began to add confessions for the present. I showed him how a balanced person should be. A balanced person is not one that's just throwing temper. When you notice that when you are in the midst of people, within a year, somebody will call you to settle fights. You are here. Say, we came for Numa City for a program. Next thing, you are fighting. Taka-taka-taka-taka-taka-taka. You have fought three, four people. Then after everybody has gone home, your phone will ring. Pastor, you will call you ahead. So that thing that happened, what happened? You are now be explaining. After Pastor, you finish calling you. Pastor David will now call you. That thing that happened, I just heard about it. What is the problem? After that, Sister David will now call you. That thing that happened, let me hear your side of the story. After that, Sister Mother will now call you. You are the problem. No, don't. It is you. You have to fix yourself. It's not. Every time you are justifying, hey, that was the first step for me. That you are the problem. It is you. See, it is you. It is you. You must identify that you are the problem. Otherwise, see, you will not be marriageable for life. And nobody can come to me to say, but I want to marry this girl. I will tell them the truth. Go and ask me. By the grace of God, I have come to that point in my life where I would rather set people on the right path than be doing. I don't like fixing. I like my life. You must give me peace and joy. I love life. Amen. I want peace. I don't want trouble. If I know that it is trouble that this person will give, I will say, see, are you ready for our trouble? Ask those who are married. I will tell them the truth. This person is going to give you a problem. Don't come back to me to say, hey, but I mean, got a problem after. I told you before that this person will give you a problem. At least the person will give you peace. I'll be the one to say, ah, in fact, glory to God. Because you must address these issues and you must fix self first. Fix self first. Don't marry and begin to say it's your pattern and it's a problem. Fix yourself. You are a young man. You notice that your eyes are here, your eyes are darting up and down. You cannot keep your eyes away from different kinds of skirts. You are the problem. It is not your partner. Your partner is not inordinately jealous or insecure. You are the problem. We know, everybody knows, there's something we call self-awareness. People will tell you, ah, but I have a weakness. Ah, people will tell me, a man came to me, a man in his 70s came to me and he said, you know that thing that happens to all men? I said, sir. He said, but you know that thing that affects all men? I said, sir. He said, I said, you don't know what I'm talking about. I said, I don't know. He said, I'm married to a judge. She was happy with me. Oh, but one day, I did that thing that happened to all men. I said, sir, don't repeat that thing. What did you do? He caught me with another woman. I said, sir, it doesn't happen to all men. You will say it happened. I did it. Don't generalize this thing. All of us are not the same. Say, but I messed up. I cheated on my wife. Say it with your mouth. Open your mouth and say it. I will not kill you. But don't say all men. All men may include me in your definition. And that will not be fair. That will not be fair. It will not be fair in any way. So stick with your story, but don't say all men. What am I saying? We know. All of us know where we are weak. Don't say, I've heard ladies say, it's something like this before you married me. Don't be unfortunate. Don't be an unfortunate person. Don't be speaking like that. That's how unfortunate people speak. They say they don't want to change. So people must marry them with their unfortunateness and cope with it. Who are you? Who are you that somebody should marry you with your unfortunate nature and cope with it? Why can't you come out of misfortune and stop being unfortunate? Why can't you look at yourself and say, I'm changing for the better? Is it a sin for you to change? For you to tell yourself, ah, no, ah, I have anger issues. I have anger issues. I don't want to have anger issues again. From the moment you begin to think this way and talk this way, you will see that you begin to turn around. I'm telling you, to change, especially when you are born again, to change is not difficult at all. The ingredient of change already lives in you. You're already full of the Holy Ghost. You are speaking in tongues. You are full of the Holy Spirit. So changing is not the problem. The problem is trying to prove that you are okay the way you are. You are not. Please, you are sick. Don't say, I'm okay. Everybody needs some work, but don't insist. Don't insist. Don't be like Jeshurun. Don't. Your neck is now fat. You now want to break it. No. No. You need help. And you must be the one to acknowledge that, ah, I have a problem with Bradinga. I have issues with jealousy. Bradinga, I have envy issues. I've tried to stop it. I need help. Then you say, okay, we can see that. Oh, you can see it yourself. Oh, I have unforgiveness issue. Say some men will give their wife silent treatment. Do you think it started in the marriage? No, now it is from their home. When they were young, when they offend their father will not talk to them. That's it now. I never had a father like that. I don't know how to do silent treatment. I never learned such things. But I know people that when they are growing up at home, when they offend their father will carry things for them. Their father will never talk to their mother. So they've also learned that it's a reward system. My attention is a reward. I hope you get it. They think that if a child is good and they pay the child attention, they are rewarding the child for good behavior. When the child now misbehaves, they will not take the attention off to punish the child. They didn't know that they are training that child to continue in that way when the child grows up. He or she will now be switching on and off attention from his wife, from his children, because that was what their father taught them, thinking that they are disciplining them. I wasn't raised like that. I mean, I see what is that treatment? And that's something like that treatment. No. It is after I grew up, like after I began to work in ministry, I began to learn all these things. like for not for behavioral, well, for behavior, but for counseling sake. I've got to study these things. Why do people behave this way? What is all this? I'm not talking to her. I'm keeping my list with my husband. Keeping my list. If you are keeping my list now as a single person, don't go and marry. Don't marry anybody. Heal. Heal. Tell yourself, I want to be a better version. I cannot have the Holy Spirit and have all these fruits of the flesh. If you notice that you are light fingered, you have covetousness. You notice it. There is a remedy. You notice that you talk too much. There is a remedy. You notice that you have a tendency to gossip. There is a remedy. There is a remedy. If you don't take care of this thing, it will expose you. I've seen people lose their homes, good marriages that are lost because the person did not fix herself. Shared with us before, one of our people, a Christian sister, the husband stylishly left Nigeria for her because everywhere she goes, she will just be whispering in people's ears, causing trouble everywhere. So they went to church, did it in church, they embarrassed her in church, she left that church, they went to another church, she did it again, they went to another church, she did it again. Eventually, when I met the husband, the other told me that, you don't know her, you are a good person. The other told me, the other said, you are a good person, you don't know her. You don't know her. When you know her, you will not be saying these things you are saying about her. And then one day, the husband just carried his passport and left Nigeria. He left her because she didn't fix herself. Fix yourself. Itemize your part. Write it down. Do it when you are alone by yourself. I have these traits. I'm selfish. I talk too much. I gossip. I delight in pulling people down. Write about yourself. These are things that can be remedied. Write it down. Acknowledge. The Bible says, acknowledge your faults. Acknowledge that this thing is part of my coding. It's part of my programming. It's part of my nature now. I have been doing this over and over again. People are complaining. Write down the things people are complaining about you. Write it down. Say, hey, they've complained about me before that. I'm violent. Write it down. They complained about me before. Write it down. Those things are true. Don't give excuse. Write it down. These things are true. Write it down. Even though you at that time you said no, write it down. Write it down. Write it down. Now, that is the quarter of the job. Self-awareness, identifying your triggers, your nature, identifying these things that they are part of your programming. And they've been built there over years. From when you are growing up to other things, to what you've seen your father and mother do to your relationships, you've noticed these things. So when you write them down, you then tell yourself from that day, I, Benga Samuel Wemimo, I declare from today, I will no longer be full of resentment. I will no longer be full of anger. I declare that I'm a child of God, full of the Holy Spirit. I walk in the light. I will not walk in unforgiveness. From today, I speak to you, Benga, hear the word of the Lord. You are full of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you will no longer be insecure. You will no longer, from this day, I declare it, you will walk worthy of peace. You will not be a man of violence. I declare it in the name of Jesus that even though men have done great evil to me, they've raped me, they've done this to me, but I declare that I'm brand new in the Lord. Therefore, I walk worthy of the name of Jesus that is named upon me. You will speak to yourself like that consistently every day. Not only will you now speak, after speaking, you begin to deliberately recode yourself by changing how you react to these things, how you talk, how you relate with people. When you notice old habits are trying to creep up or creep in, you will caution yourself. I'm not teaching theory. I'm teaching things that I have practiced personally. Things that I've practiced personally. That has helped me in my walk, in my journey. We have to the Lord. I notice somebody that doesn't have certain habits or characters. I noticed some things. I said, Dad, no, I will not be like this. I refuse to. I refuse to. I refuse. I refuse to be on the street of K2. Then I was living in K2. One mechanic was standing. I wanted to park into church, right in front of our church. And so this one was, I don't know, I don't know. He was acting like a big man. I pressed the horn of the car. It just came down from his car, came to my car, slammed the bonnet. Bah, bah, bah. Who are you? You this small boy. You are pressing on for me. Do you know who I am? Ah! It was right in front of church. I sat in the car. I didn't see anything. He was shouting and shouting. At a point, I just came down from the car. I'm not proud of myself. I'm telling you. When I came down from the car, the way I behaved. After that, I went to church. Some people in the community came to the senior pastor to tell him. They said, somebody provoked Pastor Sam. Hey! Somebody provoked Pastor Sam today. Pastor Sam, we never saw Pastor Sam like this before. The senior pastor called me. What happened? I explained to him. I was still angry, but I tried to explain to him. And then he said, oh, okay. What you did was wrong. It doesn't matter whether it's in front of church or in your streets. No, you shouldn't behave like that. I said, do you know what he did? I was in my car. I wanted to come into the church. I pressed the horn gently because he was standing on the road. And this man came and slammed my bonnet. And he was slamming the car. He was insulting me in front. He said, calm down. I was thinking that I was angry at Pastor too. I mean it. I told Pastor, what do you mean, calm down? Why are you the one? I took my car key. I'm this man is saying rubbish. The pastor did not believe it. He had never seen, even I did not know that I could behave like that. I was fuming. Like from like 5 p.m. that thing happened. The pastor called me around 8 p.m. I was still angry. I got in my car, I drove off. When I got home, the next day, I was still angry. I came to church on Tuesday. All the people in that area, they were looking at me somehow. I've been a pastor in that area for many years. Never did I behave like that. They were looking at me. This guy could have killed somebody. Because that day, I just opened my boot. When I opened my boot, I took the wheel spanner. I just opened my boot, I took the wheel spanner. I'm going to break your head. I will kill you here. I was ready to do it. And I've never been like that before. So everybody saw, everybody was like, what? This gentleman. The image kept flashing in my head. The provocation and how I reacted. I could never forget that day. After that, the pastor came to church on Tuesday and said, we have to suspend you so that you can go and deal with this thing because you disappointed me. I said, okay, suspend me. I took the car and left. When I got back home, I said, which direction is your life heading like this? You are fighting everybody. Somebody provoked you. Now you have, what they say in Yoruba language, they say he's fighting one person, but he poked everybody's eyes. You are fighting with one person, but everybody that brings eyes, you are just poking their eyes, everybody. That was what I was doing. I said, no. I shouldn't be behaving like this. You have to tell yourself the truth. I wrote my confession. I said, no. Under no circumstances would I behave like this anymore. I belong to the Lord. I'm a child of God. I turn around the course of my own life. And God will not rob me of my destiny. I will not be provoked into doing something that I'm not supposed to do. I spoke to myself. This was about 20 years ago. I've never. What is it? I walk away. I'm full of joy. My life is a good life. And that was the turning point. That was the turning point. I hope you've learned something today. Turn your life around. Don't get married as a product of misfortune. When you've turned your life around and you can see that you are a wholesome person, now you can think of marriage. Is very important and critical that you deal with this thing. Even if you are married now, deal with it so that you can be a better partner to your wife or to your husband and stop all this unnecessary bickering. It is not fitting, it is not good. It is not good for your Christian testimony. It's not good for your marriage. It's not good for you. So what is the point? Glory to God. It's time to give our offering. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Ah, I'm going to bless your, I told you I'm happy today. I'm going to bless your relationships today. I'm going to bless your relationships. The offering we are giving is for the poor. But in my preparation for this class, as I came in from my journey, I opened my phone and I saw the messages of proposals, and I began to thank God. I began to look at all the people involved one by one so that I will know what to speak to them, how to speak to them individually, because people are different. And I saw that all of them are fit. All of them are fit for marriage, you know? And not one of them is going to give me a headache. And my heart was full of joy and gladness. Why? Because it shows that I'm doing a good job somehow. Yes, let me say it. I'm getting marriageable people. Glory to God. The teachings are working. And people are getting better and better and better and better every day. Glory to God. So the Lord said, bless, 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 bless. So I'm going to bless your relationships and marriages. And I'm going to bless those who are still single. The offering we are giving today is on relationships. It's on that. We are giving it to the poor, but that is how I've been led to minister. So as you give this offering, know that you are watering your relationships. Know that you are coming out of misfortune. Those of us who have issues, know that you are coming out of them by the power of God and by the word of God. By joining, by listening, by hearing, by paying attention, by being steadfast, the anointing, the impartation that comes with the word of God begins to work in your life. You begin to notice a cleansing in your inward parts. All the traumatic experiences, all the pain, all the agony, all the negative reactions you've had to positive things, and positive reactions you had to negative things, the Lord is cleansing you out of them. All the learned behavior from lesbianism, homosexualism, and all those things that has battered your mind, you are healing today. The word of God says so, and I stand on it. You are healing today. Every kind of trauma that you have gone or experienced, that your mother, father, where you are learning, your guardian, your lecturer, all the things, all the baggage, the Lord is relieving you of them. He said, cast your burden upon me, cast it. I declare that by the power of the Holy Spirit, there is a change. There is a change in your faculties, there is a change in your thinking, there is a change in your understanding. You are evolving. You are evolving to the glory of God. You are evolving. You are changing. You are moving in the right direction. Your path is getting brighter and brighter. Your hands are steady. Your homes are blessed. You are having a wonderful relationship with your husband, with your wife. You are having glorious marriages. And you notice a change. There is a change by the power of the Holy Spirit in your relationships in the name of Jesus. You experience it. The Spirit of God building over you, changing you, changing you, changing you by the power of God, changing you. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Now you are setting us on the right course, and we follow that course into glory. Blessed be your name, Father. We give you glory. We declare that all hands, all hearts, all minds are blessed, and you flourish in the place where God has planted you. Glory to God in the highest. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please unmute and shout, glory!
Glory!
Glory! Glory!